It's been said that emotional intelligence is the key to both personal and professional success. Well, how to better manage your emotions and those around you? That's the subject of a new book by Susan Packard, the co-founder of HGTV, and she was on the startup teams for HBO and CNBC. She grew up in Detroit, and she graduated from Michigan State. Her new book is titled Fully Human, Three Steps to Grow Your Emotional Fitness in Work, Leadership, and Life. Susan, welcome to Stateside.
Thank you. I'm just delighted to be here, Denise.
So are many of us not fully human?
Well, I would say that it is a lifelong process, and my sector has been the business workplace, and this book talks about emotional intelligence, which is a workplace skill, and how where we're succeeding with it and when we're failing. And the truth is, as you move up in the ranks in organizations, you become less and less emotionally fit, which are my words, and CEOs have the least amount of emotional fitness and in many cases are barely human, to answer your question.
That is it's a fascinating phrase, but I dare say there are a lot of folks out there saying amen. So
yeah.
You think about the person who appears to be successful, you know, have grabbed the golden ring, but could
right.
be very well coping with fear and feeling disconnected. And when that person's a leader and someone in management, tell us how you've seen that affect the team and affect the company. What have you seen in your career?
Well, somebody is leading with fear, meaning not necessarily dogmatically leading, but has a lot of fear that they carry with them. Often what ends up happening is when you ask, when you brainstorm with them, when you're talking about resources, the answer is always no, because no is the safe place for leaders who are fear-based. And it's not the healthy place for a company. It's not emotionally healthy and it's not economically healthy to always be flashing lines through a P&L when you can do little things that make all the difference in getting your people behind you.
And that's where that idea of EQ fitness comes in, which is what? What is EQ fitness and what are the principles of it?
Yeah, so what I've done is I've taken this idea of emotional intelligence and I've brought it current to the workplace of 2019. And what I mean by that is that I needed to gain some self-awareness myself. I realized that when I was 39 years old and managing hundreds of people at HGTV, that I did a good job on reading people and responding effectively to them. But the part about the self-awareness, which is the second part of emotional intelligence, I had done such a lifetime of stuffing down unsettled emotions that I kind of lost touch with myself. And if you're a leader, you have to lead from a place of inner solid grounding. So what I did with emotional fitness is it's basically three steps. The first is diving a little deeper into self-awareness and getting to a place of inner alignment, if you will. You know, are my values aligned with my outer work and my larger life? And then the second step is building relationships of trust. And the third step is leading with we principles, W-E, meaning you have a perspective that's not just me focused, but you actually move yourself aside for the greater good of the organization.
And that helps that leader, that manager, to be able to do, as you put it, there are many, many things that maybe doesn't cost a penny, but it makes people just feel included and feel valued.
Yeah. In fact, there's a story about Best Buy, and Hubert Joly took over in 2012 when it was on life support. And it was going to go into bankruptcy. And one of the things he did right away was he resurrected the employee discount. So here were these demoralized employees who'd gone through multiple leaders over the course of 5 years. He came in and he said, whoa, let's resurrect this. And he had those employees for life. It was a small thing and it was barely noticeable on the P&L. But that's the kind of leadership a leader who's emotionally fit agencies to do.
One of the things that really jumped out at me in your book, Fully Human, was the CEO who did have that kind of emotional and EQ fitness where he could say to his team, what can I do to help you?
Oh, yeah, that was Yarrow Moon, who runs NPR, National Public Radio.
Yeah, a name we know here. And what a valuable thing to say to your team. What can I do to help you? And it struck me that most people didn't want to have him do work for them, right? It was just having that acknowledged.
Right. Absolutely. And for the most part, they said, no, thanks. But they reacted. He said he could see how they physically changed posture when he would ask that question. And it was kind of like, you know, knowing that you have people in the boat with you, and especially your leader.
We hear so much talk about leadership and leadership skills. But in your book, Susan Packard, you write about followership. And I'd never thought of that before. But boy, the followers are the ones who make things happen, aren't they?
Yep. And there's a lot of research around this. So I spent a day at Carnegie Mellon, and one of the professors there has written books on followership. And, you know, the problem in our culture is nobody wants to be called a follower, even though if they're really comfortable being a follower. You know, so a lot of this is nomenclature, but he found that when you looked at a structure of a team, the person that was at the very top was responsible for something like 15 or 20% of the overall result of whatever the initiative was. 80% was the team, the quote-unquote followers. So how critical they are. I mean, you can do it without a leader, but you can't do it without the follower.
Yeah. And again, a workplace that has EQ fitness that will make people feel valued. But I'm wondering, can a single person make a change in the overall workplace, even if, let's say, the boss or others in management are not working on their EQ fitness?
That is the most common question I get as I've been on this book tour, which suggests to me that there are a lot of unhealthy cultures out there. I'm not surprised by that. My research supports it. In fact, one of the pieces of data is one out of five CEOs exhibit some form of psychopathic behavior at work. So, you know, when you're looking at culture, we really have to look at all of this. But culture is too big for any one person. But what you can do is you can bring it to your immediate team, department, and you can look at, you know, how about the folks around me that I work with every day? And how about my boss? And it's possible that that little ecosystem could be very emotionally healthy and strong. The larger culture, on the other hand, might not be. But if there's a way for you to almost cocoon yourself with the people that you work with day in and day out, then it's possible to find some peace of mind, you know, in a workplace.
I don't want to let you go without touching about the fact that you write a lot about mindfulness and the benefits of meditation and also spirituality, not necessarily religion, but spiritual thinking. What role does all of that have in the workplace? And what happens when it's missing from our jobs, from our lives?
Yes. So this was the hardest part for me to write, because step three, we principles, is about the appropriate times to move ourselves aside for the greater good. And as leaders, I mean, all great leaders, all noble leaders have evolved this way. And part of that is having a what I call spiritual insight, which is essentially a perspective of humility to recognize I'm not why this place is successful. I contribute to it. I have an important role to play, but, you know, it's all of the people around me, and recognizing them and showing instances of gratitude. One of the stories I tell is my boss, Ken Lowe at HGTV, you know, he would say to me, Suze, don't forget to thank them whenever I spoke in front of a group. And I was good one-on-one with my folks, but when the large groups, I would just forget. And so he would remind me, and eventually it became second nature, like an inner muscle. And those kinds of things are really spiritual practices that get us outside of our own sort of egos to meld with the rest of the organization and keep it healthy and strong.
What do you hope readers get from your book, Fully Human?
Well, I always say is that if they can get a nugget or two of information that can inspire them to do something new, something different that would be healthy, emotionally healthy for them. For example, with trust, you know, trust is the second step. If in a trust relationship, drop your cell phone, put it in your pocket when you're talking to somebody, put it on the table, put it away and look somebody in the eye. There's so many simple things, little things you can do that don't take much effort at all that can help you with each of these three steps.
Both at work and at home.
Exactly.
Susan Packard, who is the co-founder of Scripps Networks Interactive and also the former chief operating officer at HGTV. And she was also part of the team that helped to start up HBO and CNBC. And she is a Detroiter. And the book, again, Fully Human, Three Steps to Grow Your Emotional Fitness in Work, Leadership, and Life. Susan, it was a pleasure to talk with you. And thank you so very, very much.
And thank you for having me on your show.